Have you ever been cruising along on a beautiful VFR day, scanning for traffic like you were taught, and then out of nowhere a Piper Cherokee materializes at your 2 o'clock, same altitude, and you both freeze for half a second, wondering who moves first? That half second matters, and there's a rule for it. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar today. We are going to crack open one of those regulations that every student pilot memorizes for the written exam, promptly forgets the details of, and then desperately tries to recall when it actually matters. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.113, Right-of-Way Rules. It sounds simple, who goes first? But there are layers to this one, and getting it wrong does not just mean a busted check ride, it means two airplanes trying to occupy the same piece of sky at the same time. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together, because I think the best way to learn 91.113 is not to memorize a list. It is to understand the logic behind the list. Once you see the pattern, it sticks. The very first thing the regulation says before it gets into any specific scenario is this. When weather conditions permit, regardless of whether you are flying under instrument flight rules or visual flight rules, you are responsible for seeing and avoiding other aircraft. That is paragraph A, and it is the foundation everything else is built on. Even if you are on an IFR flight plan with ATC giving you traffic advisories, the see and avoid responsibility never goes away. The controller is helping. They are not replacing your eyeballs. Now here is where it gets practical. The regulation sets up a hierarchy. Think of it like a pecking order. When two aircraft are converging, one of them has the right of way over the other based on what category of aircraft it is. And the rule is beautifully simple once you see it. The least maneuverable aircraft wins. At the very top of the food chain is an aircraft in distress. If someone has declared an emergency, everyone else gets out of the way. No exceptions. No qualifications, that aircraft has the right of way over all other air traffic. Below that, the hierarchy goes like this. A balloon has the right of way over everything except an aircraft in distress. Why? Because a balloon pilot cannot steer. They go where the wind takes them. They are the least maneuverable thing in the sky. Next comes a glider. A glider has the right of way over an airship, a powered parachute, a weight shift control aircraft, an airplane, and a rotorcraft. Why? Because the glider has no engine, it cannot just add power and climb away from a conflict. Then an airship has the right of way over powered parachutes, weight shift control aircraft, airplanes, and rotorcraft. And so on down the line. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. You do not need to memorize this list by brute force. Just remember the principle. The thing that has the hardest time getting out of the way wins. A balloon cannot maneuver. A glider cannot add power. You in your Cessna 172, you have an engine, ailerons, a rudder, and full control authority. You are the most maneuverable thing in most of these scenarios, which means you are usually the one who yields. Now let's get into the situations that actually come up in real flying, converging aircraft. This is paragraph D. When two aircraft of the same category are converging at approximately the same altitude, the aircraft on the right has the right of way. Think of it like driving, yield to the right. If that Cherokee is at your 2 o'clock, they have the right of way. You need to alter your course. Turn right, descend, climb, do something, but do not just sit there hoping they see you. Here is where students sometimes get confused. This rule applies when you are converging. Not when you're flying parallel courses, not when you're head-on. Converging means your flight paths are going to intersect if nobody does anything, and the aircraft on the right has priority. What about head-on? Paragraph E covers that. When two aircraft are approaching head-on or nearly so, each pilot shall alter course to the right. Both of you, not just one, both pilots turn right. This means you will pass left to left. Just like cars on a two-lane road, the key word in the regulation is each. It is not a question of who has the right of way. Both of you move, both of you turn right. Now let's talk about overtaking, because this is the one that surprises people. Paragraph F. If you're overtaking another aircraft, meaning you're coming up behind them and you're faster, the aircraft being overtaken has the right of way. You, the faster aircraft, must alter your course to the right to pass. Not to the left, to the right. And the regulation defines the overtaking zone as anything more than 70 degrees from the nose of the aircraft being overtaken. So basically, if you're approaching someone from behind, even slightly off to one side, you are the overtaking aircraft and you yield. Think about why this matters. That airplane in front of you probably has no idea you're back there. Their blind spot is directly behind and below them. You're the one with the visual advantage. You're the one who needs to manage the situation. Now here is a scenario that comes up all the time and trips people up. Landing. Paragraph G is where 91.113 gets really specific. When two or more aircraft are approaching an airport for the purpose of landing, the aircraft at the lower altitude has the right of way, but, and the regulation is very clear about this, that lower aircraft shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of another aircraft that is on final approach to land or to overtake that aircraft. So what does that actually mean in practice? Let's say you're on a long final for runway 27. You are at 800 feet, stabilized, configured, looking good. Another airplane is above you and behind you, also heading for the same runway. You have the right of way because you're lower. But here is the catch. You cannot use that rule as a weapon. You cannot dive down below someone on a 3-mile final and then claim priority because you're lower. The spirit of the rule is that the lower aircraft is more committed to landing, closer to the ground, with less room to maneuver. It is not a loophole for aggressive flying. There is another critical piece in the landing section. An aircraft on final approach or landing has the right of way over other aircraft in flight or operating on the surface. But if two aircraft are both on final, the one at the lower altitude has priority, and the regulation gives the ultimate trump card to something most students do not think about. It says you shall not land when another aircraft is on the runway. That sounds obvious, but go to a busy non-towered airport on a Saturday morning and watch how many people try to land while the airplane ahead of them is still rolling out. Let me give you a real-world scenario that ties several of these rules together. You are at a non-towered airport. You are in the traffic pattern on downwind for runway 36. You hear another pilot on the radio announce they are on a straight-in approach for the same runway. Who has the right of way? This is where it gets interesting. The regulation does not specifically address traffic pattern versus straight-in priority. What it does say is that when two aircraft are approaching for landing, the lower one has priority, subject to the restriction about not cutting in front. In the Aeronautical Information Manual, the FAA recommends using the standard traffic pattern, but they do not prohibit straight-in approaches at non-towered fields. So, what do you do? Here is my advice, and this is the practical stuff you will not find in the regulation itself. Communicate. If you're in the pattern and someone is on a straight-in, talk to each other. Announce your positions. Work it out. The regulation gives you a framework, but good airmanship fills in the gaps. The pilot who insists on their right-of-way at the expense of safety has won the argument and lost the point. The examiner is looking for you to understand these rules, yes, but more importantly, they want to see that you apply them with judgment. On your check ride, you might get a question about right-of-way during the oral portion. But you will definitely be evaluated on how you handle traffic during the flight. Do you scan effectively? Do you yield when appropriate? Do you communicate at non-towered airports? That is the real test. Let me also mention paragraph B, which everyone reads and nobody thinks about until it matters. Notwithstanding the right-of-way rules, each pilot in command shall take whatever action is necessary to avoid a collision. Even if you have the right-of-way, if the other pilot does not see you, or does not know the rules, or is simply not paying attention, being right does not keep you alive. Avoiding the collision keeps you alive. This is paragraph B, and it might be the most important sentence in the entire regulation. I want you to think about that for a second. The FAA put that clause near the top of the regulation before all the specific rules, because they know that right-of-way is a concept, not a force field. No rule prevents a mid-air collision. Only pilots prevent mid-air collisions. The rules just help us coordinate so we are not all freelancing out there. One more thing that catches students off guard. 91.113 also applies on the ground. Paragraph D mentions that when aircraft are converging, the right-of-way rules apply. That includes taxiing. If you are taxiing at a non-towered airport and another airplane is approaching from your right, they have the right-of-way. At towered airports, obviously ground control is managing the flow, but at your local uncontrolled field, these rules are the only traffic management system you have. Let me give you a quick mental checklist to carry with you. First, always scan for traffic. No rule replaces your eyes. Second, remember the hierarchy. Least maneuverable wins. Balloons, gliders, airships, then you. Third, converging traffic? Yield to the right. Head on? Both turn right. Overtaking? Pass on the right, and you yield. Fourth, landing? Lower aircraft has priority, but never cut someone off. Fifth, and most importantly, when in doubt, give way. Being courteous in the sky is not weakness. It is the highest form of airmanship. Here is something that will serve you well beyond the check ride. Every regulation exists because something went wrong. 91.113 exists because the sky is big and empty until suddenly it is not. Mid-air collisions happen, and they almost always involve VFR aircraft in good weather near airports. The exact conditions where we feel the safest and let our guard down the most. So the next time you're flying on a gorgeous day, fat and happy with unlimited visibility, and you catch yourself thinking, traffic is not a concern today, that is the moment to sharpen your scan. That is when 91.113 earns its keep. A lot of this came from the regulation itself and the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, which is where the practical guidance lives. Radiohangar.com if you want to keep building. Fly safe out there. And remember, the right of way belongs to the pilot who sees the traffic first and does something about it.